Whenever we have this gospel passage, it brings back fond memories of my grandfather, my mom's father. About this time of year, he would begin a campaign of calling two or three or four times a day, maybe. This was when I was a little bit younger. And it's almost time. Yes, yes, Dad, my mom would go. Yes, yes, we know. It's almost time to trim the vine. My grandfather had, grandfather and grandmother had a large trellis. Well, as a kid, we thought it was large. But every year, we'd have to go up and assist him in trimming it. And he taught us, or at least taught me, the difference. And of course, I forgot more than I ever learned when it comes to trimming vines now. But I do remember this. There were three reasons we trimmed. One is the branch that we trimmed off was dead. Obviously dead. It didn't have any leaves on it. It was dry and maybe even half broken off. We had also trimmed those that, as we traced that branch out, had not set any fruit on. And sometimes we would trim even those that did have fruit, so that the fruit that was left after we trimmed would be better. Those three reasons. And our Lord tells us that this is the case, that our Father, our Heavenly Father, is the vine grower who is going to prune. And we need to remain in Him, and He in us. There's something beautiful when we recognize what our Lord is doing, and of course all analogies ultimately fail, but what our Lord is doing is that we as the branch are to be so united to our Lord that it's hard to tell where the branch ends and the vine begins. Or better, where the vine ends and the branch begins. To be so connected to our Lord, so intimate with our Lord, that His life flows in us, through us, and produces good fruit. He wants and desires this fruit. How time and again, inviting us to produce good fruit, not only in this passage, but various other passages. And we can only do so if we remain in Him. Now again, all analogies fail. Ultimately, if you take a branch off the vine and you do certain things to it, you might be able to develop roots and you might be able to grow it, but that's not what our Lord is talking about. Here, He wants us to produce good fruit. And so He's going to prune us. And He prunes us with His word, He prunes us with the sacraments, He prunes us with certain activities and certain actions. And of course, if we're dead, we might not feel that pruning as directly, as quickly as we perhaps ought. A dead thing cannot have any feeling. But if we're pruned because we're not producing fruit, or we're producing fruit that is not going to be as good as it should be, that's a painful thing, isn't it? I have to admit, the times when I recognize, oh, Lord, You're pruning me, I didn't exactly at the moment think, oh, wonderful. I wanted to throw a pity party. As I keep joking, you know, I throw the very best pity parties. The problem is no one else shows up. And of course, then I want to throw another pity party. But when our Lord is pruning us, it is painful. It is difficult. And yet, how necessary it is. How necessary it is that we accept that pruning in our lives, because He wants to produce good fruit in us. It's not always easy to accept that, the pruning. Like, if you could imagine, even just imagine paper cut, how painful that is. That's a physical pain. The spiritual pain of being pruned can be worse. We don't feel it as in our bodies, perhaps, as intensely, but it hurts. And yet, as we look back, we can see perhaps, oh, now I understand why You cut that off, why that so-called friend, our relationship went sour, because it was not going to be based in You, it was going to take me down a path You didn't want me to go. Oh, now I can understand why that door was closed. You know the old adage, when God closes the door, he opens a window. That's, don't go through the window. I wish it were, when God closes one door, he opens another. Because that's ultimately what it is. When he prunes us, it's to produce better fruit somewhere else. If we're just focused on the pruning, we miss the point. He wants to produce good fruit. And we might ask, well, what is that good fruit? And we hear about it in today's second reading, actually. Although I do have to admit, I believe there's a little bit of trouble in the translation we have. Beloved, let us not love in word and speech. Wait a minute here. So we can gossip about one another? We can cut one another down? I don't think that's the case. I think in context, certainly we hear it, but I think it's missing the word only. Let us not love only in speech and word, but in deed and truth. Let us love and let that love become so real that our actions demonstrate that love. Let us have faith so deep, perhaps not that we're literally moving mountains, but a faith deep that abides and trusts that the Lord knows what he's doing when he prunes us, to remind others if we see that pruning action of our Lord in their lives, to help them through that pruning action, to remind them that God is good, God knows what he's doing, and to trust him. To see God's actions as trying to produce the fruits of charity and faith and hope in us and in those around us. If we want a prime example of those watching for those fruits, we have a beautiful example in today's first reading. This is shortly after Saul's conversion. In fact, right before his conversion, St. Luke records in the Acts of the Apostles, of course, and Saul still breathing murderous threats. I like that image. That's all he was breathing, his murderous threats. He was so angry, so zealous to destroy the early followers of Christ, to destroy the followers of the way, that he was murderous in his attempt. He had letters to go and to arrest those in Antioch, to arrest them and put them in chains and to bring them before the governor and to have them put to death. And our Lord intervened, of course, knocked him to the ground. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he was converted. And then we pick up. He goes and he begins to proclaim the gospel. And the apostles are a little scared. In fact, Ananias says, Lord, he was just trying to have us arrested, trying to put us to death. What are you doing sending me to him? No, I have chosen him. Ananias goes and sees the fruits. And because of Barnabas, the apostles see the fruits of his conversion as well. I do like to point out, Barnabas lives up to his name time and again and again. His name literally means son of encouragement. And he's always encouraging someone. There he is, standing before the apostles, saying, I will take charge of him. And when they begin to see, yes, Saul has had this full conversion, he's proclaiming the gospel. In fact, he's proclaiming it so much that the Hellenists want to put him to death. You know, Saul, maybe it's good for you to just get out of town. Go back to Tarsus. And of course, after that, after today's first reading, there he is praying, continuing to live his conversion out, continuing to begin to produce those good fruits. When Barnabas senses that it is time, he goes and gets Paul, brings him to Antioch, the very town he was seeking to destroy, and begins to proclaim the gospel there. We just heard that this week in our daily readings, and it's there that they were first called Christian, those who belong to Christ. The apostles needed to see that fruit. Saul himself needed to be pruned of that murderous intentions, to realize that that was a path of death. And we too, sometimes, maybe not as dramatically, maybe certainly not as with this murderous intent, but we too sometimes need to accept the conversion, the little things that our Lord is doing to convert us, to get our attention, to bring us more full fruit, better fruit. It is not a pleasant process, perhaps, but when all is said and done, what a beautiful process it is, that we can stand someday before the Lord with all the fruits of our conversion, with all the fruits of love and charity, with all the fruits of faith and hope, stand hopefully with him with hands overflowing with those fruits, saying, "Here, Lord, here is what I did because of your pruning in my life. Here is how I lived, how I changed, how I grew. Here's all the fruits. I lay them at your feet."